Got a bad bitch on me.
What?
Got a bad bitch on me. She
D T F. She tell me she
D T F.
I heard she
D T F.
What?
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.
Okay. Well, Lil Mama.
Welcome to DTF, the Daryl Timmery Fun Hour, the greatest sex education, comedy, sometimes game show, sometimes podcast, sometimes live show in the known universe. Hi, I'm your resident sexuality educator, Dr. Timmery.
And I'm your residential other person, Daryl Charles.
Yay.
I'm a comedian, and I make jokes. Yep.
It's true.
I also have very strong opinions.
Yeah, and you're willing to do the hard work that other people are not, which is to go into the corners of the internet that they don't know how to scrub from their histories.
That's true. Man, so today we're going to talk about censorship. And today we're going to talk about sex and censorship, obviously. This is DTF. And I, knowing that this was the topic, was like, okay, cool, I'll find some articles about it. And so I picked up my phone and I went to look for it. And the first mistake I made was using my phone. My phone is for dumb social media and dumb games, right? Like that's what it's for. I shouldn't be like trying to do any real research. Also, I do answer quite a few. All my email transmissions are from my phone, but still, went on there with my phone and I put in censorship and sex and DuckDuckGo, my preferred browser and a search engine, and I because of the whatever. Anyway, I went in
because of last week's episode.
Yeah, because of last week's episode, right? I went to that, and I went in, and there were, like, a couple articles. Mostly, like, the Boy Scouts started popping up, and I was like...
What?
Well, it was about the Boy Scouts and the, you know, the class action lawsuit and, you know, them paying to... So victims of abuse can come forward and whatnot. And I was like, we covered that, and it has nothing to do with... I don't know how censorship was going to show up. I just think the search engine was like... Look, we're not Google. They're not giving us a lot of shit. Here's what we got, I feel, is what happened. And then I was like, well, if I can't find the pick in the news, let me go to the news section. And so I saw a couple things. It was like a lot of slander against critical race theory. There's a couple articles about that. Like a black woman in Virginia didn't like the idea that critical race theory is being taught in her school, and then, you know, Fox was like, so many people are upset, and I read the article, it's like, it was one lady, but anyway, it's fine. But then I was like, nothing was coming up about sex and censorship, and I was like, but in the midst of FOSTA, SESTA, and all the things, like, none of this shit can come up, nothing. Then I went to images, and hoo boy, 30 minutes later, I was like, damn it, I have to stop now, because... we have to tape a podcast. Yeah, but I fell down a wonderful rabbit hole of purposefully censored animated GIFs that Ooh. Feature nudity.
Okay.
That are artfully, all of the nudity is artfully, you know, obfuscated by things. And it's just, it was like really neat. And it fell down a whole Imgur and I don't know what the other image websites are. Fell down that rabbit hole. Yeah, and then there were a couple things about the censorship in Japanese pornography. And I was like, Daryl, you know you're going to fall down a rabbit hole if you do this. Let's not do that.
You're just going to have a whole afternoon if you
get there. Yeah, right? It's like you don't want to have to reschedule this podcast taping. If you click on this, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to make you switch to a computer.
Go to a different room.
All that to say... the cancel police are here, and they're messing with my friend.
So I guess this episode will be not so much about there is fucking news, but I'm gonna start it with I guess our first piece of fucking news. Is that all of our previous episodes where I direct people to go to Sex with Timmery are no longer valid.
Yeah.
So after, I don't know, I've been trying to remember actually how old the site is, because I first started writing a column called Sex with Timmery back when I was in college, and then when I was in grad school, someone made me sexwithtimory.com as a graduation present for my master's. So I'm guessing it was like 2008, maybe, that it's been up since then. So maybe it's in like 13 years or something. But for 13 years, WordPress has hosted Sex with Timory, which is my website. And I started putting porn on there many years ago. It's got to be 10 years ago. And at no point was there ever a concern with that.
Tasteful nudes. Tasteful sex.
Sometimes. I mean, it's artful, at least. I don't know.
Yeah, artful is what I mean. Like, yeah, and tasteful, I guess, is a subjective thing. But, like, yeah, you would put, yeah, it was nude and porn up there to be enjoyed in all of the ways one would. But I never thought it was particularly scandalous. Yeah, there were a couple times I was like, ooh, that's nice. But I never had, like, nothing more than a chub, you know? Like, nothing that was like provoking for me. But also I'm jaded. I've been jaded since the AOL days. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been around. You've seen some stuff.
When they were sending AOL discs on the 3.5 floppies, it was a great day for Daryl Charles. Because you know what you could do with 3.5s? Delete them, fill them up with pics. That's what we did, baby.
The storied days. I remember like when people would email porn pictures.
Yeah.
Just email a picture and it would take forever because I'd have to scroll down through my Hotmail for the whole thing to load. And it would just be whoever's email addresses they had, I think. We were just like random friends from high school. Like, why is Tim Garth sending this to me? Sorry, I'm going to dime you out, Tim. I thought it was great at the time because we were like 18.
Right. It was more sexual content and the appetite was voracious.
And it was harder to find. It wasn't just anywhere.
Right.
I couldn't just go find videos of porn for free on the internet. Like, because
we
just didn't.
These kids. These kids will never know.
I mean, their kids will be able to just like do VR sex while they're driving. So, you know, everybody's kinda tough.
Yeah.
But anyway, so apparently WordPress, you know, has a nudity is fine, but porn is bad stance. And this is a thing that I tried to look into. How long has that been the case? Like, so I went back into some old WordPress forums where people asked about porn, where it appeared that as long as everybody was legally of age in it, that it was going to be okay. I don't know when they changed their community standards or what, because it's usually WordPress doesn't have like, see previous edits of our community standards here, here, and here. Usually they just have the one that's up, right? And they say you won't get taken down if you only just violate the rule by having adult content, but apparently mine was adult enough. So all the content's now gone. And I'm going to take it from the universe that this is assigned to just start over and have a simpler website where I, you know, here's how you contact me and the news stuff and things like that. But it's like it's all gonna be fine, but it was an interesting thing because I was like shocked. I didn't get kicked off of Facebook yet,
right?
But I got kicked off of WordPress.
Yeah, but you've been fighting with Facebook long enough that you know they as they have done the clampening, as the great clampening has progressed, you figured out ways to dip, dive, duck, and dodge.
Very true. There's a couple things there. One thing is that Facebook, at least, what they'll normally do is give you a, hey, you violated the standards. Here's the list of things that are wrong. You can't do anything for 30 days, but then come back. Don't break the rule again anytime soon and you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. WordPress did not give me any heads up. It was just gone. So that's a big difference. But Facebook also has encouraged a sort of like preemptive obedience, right? Like, which is what happens in abusive relationships where it's like, in order to avoid being punished, you like censor yourself even more than they would expect you to.
Yeah.
Just out of anticipation of not wanting punished. So I have been incredibly like low key on Facebook and hardly on there at all, except for on the Sex with Timory page where I just took like links. So that's also a piece of it. But this is also just in the face of a lot of this stuff is happening. eBay recently decided that you can no longer have adult content on there, which is hilarious to me because I was like, I had never thought
adult content
going.
Was on eBay.
Yeah, that was the first question I had.
Homemade dildos?
I mean, I think that that's actually still gonna be okay. It's just you won't be able to have sexually explicit like pictures of it. So according to
How am I gonna buy how will I know what dildo I'm buying?
So that's a good question. So starting June 15th, because this was first noticed by Adult Video News. That's who first reported on this happening. The definition of like sexually explicit is incredibly PG. So it defines nudity as showing any part of male or female genitalia, anus or female breast where the areola or nipple is visible. It doesn't matter if it's like covered by see-through material or confined by tight clothing. If it's visible, like that's gone. And people engage
proof
in sexual content
of humanity.
Yeah, exactly. And it says most adult only items are prohibited, including sexually explicit anime, comics, books, film, animation, manga, hentai, and yao, which is a really interesting thing to specifically point out, because like you know, like how many people know about yao?
Yeah, I was just gonna ask, what's yao?
So, like, a lot of these things are like, specific communities gathered around a sexual identity. And I think that that one has, if I am correct, like a queerness to it, specifically. Let me see if I can find a...
Is it YAO?
Good definition. It has to do with boy love, basically. It's, like, fictional media that is homoerotic relationships. So, it's specifically, like, queer content. So they're in Pride Month taking aim at queer content, which is a fun, nice thing they did. It's kind of similar to how Tumblr took down all their sexual content on December 17th, which is the National Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers. They just keep picking these times that are like, wow, nice.
It is funny that that happens. Like, that happened a lot with the last president. It was like on a particular date, it was like, oh, yeah, it's the day to commemorate this thing. It'd be like, oh, also in the news, those people have been slandered in some way. The government now thinks it's okay to bust their windows in. You'd be like, what? How did that happen on this of all days? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is something, like, who's the mumra who is sitting there looking at calendars like, all right, we got a lot of bullshit to push through the legal system. We got to make sure it takes about 100 days. So we have to start in January. If we want to make sure that by March, it's okay to punch your wives in the face. We have to. Okay. Come on. We got to get it in by December 22nd. Like, yeah.
That's a really, really good point. That's an incredibly good point. And another really good point that somebody actually asked me in the audience. I gave a talk on Friday. I do the spotlight shows at Taboo where I do an extended version of a talk that I've given before and then do burlesque. Mm-hmm. And one of the talks that I gave was on social media censorship. And I was describing how the various sites handle porn content, right? Like Tumblr got rid of it, theoretically. It's still on there, but like, you know, it's more low-key. Facebook has always been aggressively anti-nudity. Instagram is increasingly. But Twitter still has a lot of porn content. And somebody asked, like, how does Twitter get away with that? And for whatever reason, it just dawned on me, like, why have I never asked myself that question? That's so, so good. And the answer is because none of them have to be doing these bans. Yeah. This is post-Fosta Sesta, so they're doing it for their liability, but they don't give a shit about, you know, freedom or, like, marginalized communities. They're covering their own asses, and Twitter is, in that way, doing the math on it. Everything they do is they do the math of their liability, and they decided, like, nobody's actually going to enforce this, and
they don't give a shit. They have to put the money in to do the enforcement, I think, is the thing. So Twitter's always been very, very cool with porn.
Yeah. And so it's like I was just reading up a bunch of these sort of things for an article on this, and in the ACLU, they're basically saying, like, obviously content moderation is never going to be perfect, but like none of these things are transparent. None of them will work with the average person when they deplatform them. There's all this huge conversation about specifically Donald Trump being taken off of Facebook, and it becomes like an international news story. Mm-hmm. But like for the vast majority of people, most of whom are small businesses or, you know, just kids that need to find friends online, like they have no recourse. No one gives a shit. Mm-hmm. And so it's like all of this stuff is done by algorithm. And a perfect example of that. So you were talking about those those things that you found when you were searching, you found those gifts. Yeah. And our fantastic editor and producer, Flirt Vonnegut, he sent me a TikTok of this girl. She took like porn, I think old school porn, and then did a sort of cover to it. So everything pornographic about it was taken away. Mm-hmm. So it was actually totally PG now. But because of the way that they use algorithms to look for pornographic content, it still flagged the whole thing, even though she had actually censored it. And it was like, this is literally not doing the thing that it is designed to do.
Well, she found a use case that makes the algorithm obsolete. That doesn't mean it's not doing what it does. It's a great way to point out the short-sightedness of it, right?
Because
I think a lot of those things, it just has its database of porn. And so it runs a quick correlation, right? It's just like, hey, is this thing part of the subset that we've already checked and verified? And so, if you remove all the sex from a porn, but you just have the scenes where people are talking to each other, I could see that algorithm being like, no, this is porn.
Yeah, yeah. Because, most of these, it's one of the other things that we've uncovered when Facebook became much more open about what their community standards even were in 2017. For the first time, we became aware of like what the stats were and how often pages were getting taken down. And we see that what people are most likely to report is violence, because that's what actual users are like, I'm offended by this, I want this taken down. But what gets taken down the most is nudity and sex, because it's easier to find, apparently. Right.
Yeah.
So that's also the thing. It's like, this is whose community? Are these like the values of a specific person? Like, I'm confused on that.
I mean, I do laugh. I guess I'm in a couple of like group chats, and every once in a while, someone will post what is obviously porn, right? It was, and I just go, huh? Like, this is on Facebook, and I just wonder, like, where the corners, like, I say this as if I'm like standing up, like, I'm not the dirty one, it's my friends, mom. But like, there was one I got this week where a woman was two people with vulvas. But I can't even assume that there was a person. There was a vulva and an ass, and then a person, and the in one of the orifices, I believe it was the vaginal canal, was that pink thing that hangs out. You know, that the pink thing, the.
Like the fildo? Like, what are we talking about?
No, the pink thing that like is supposed to vibrate whenever someone puts money into your cam account.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like a little pink vibrating thing that's supposed to like move whenever you get money added. It was in there, and then there was another person whose face was directly on the mons pupus of the person with the pink thing hanging out. And then at some point, there was a great deluge of liquid that apparently the woman, the person who was mouthing it, aspirated. And so it was a quick squirt in the mouth, and then a good one of those like sneeze, cough, I can't breathe things. And that's the full clip. It was funny, right?
But
obviously porn.
Yeah.
Obviously lifted from a longer, I assume, longer video. Because women don't work that way.
I like takes just a lot of outtakes. Heavy petting. Hmm? Yeah, I want a video of just outtakes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was just an outtake. Yeah. But part of me, while I was laughing, is still like, how long is this going to stay on YouTube? I mean, Facebook, but whatever.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, because it all comes down to enforcement. And that's the same thing with like the hate speech on there, too. And everything is one of the big issues with hate speech on Facebook is it's like completely decontextualized. So if I reappropriate a slur that has been used against me, but the post itself is opposed to hate speech, I will get banned. Right. But if someone else in the course of what they're saying is overtly racist and homophobic and sexist and whatever, but doesn't use slurs, like it'll probably be kept up because they don't moderate speech. I'm like, but you do.
Yeah, there was a I read it. It was like a Facebook put out, or they didn't put out. There was like a report that Facebook ordered. It was supposed to be an internal Facebook document, but it was about the January 6th failed insurrection thing at the Capitol. And Facebook did an investigation on like how much of this were we culpable for? Like, what did we allow to happen? What were we doing to try to stem it? And what lessons can we learn in the future? Which is noble, right? Like, no social media company is the government. They are not bound to keep us safe or happy, right? Like, that's the government's job. It's not an individual company's job. But it's nice that they were doing that. And I read the whole thing just out of my own curiosity. And one of the things that they highlighted was a lot of those groups, like the Stop the Steal groups, it was like a handful of people who they knew were trash, right? They're like, they have a very low, like, friend rate. Like, they request a lot of friends, but they rarely get any, right? And then they get taken down and they show up, and they know this by IP addresses and all the shit, all the information that they are grabbing from you when you go on Facebook is what they use, you know, internally to figure this shit out. They were the thing that what you said reminded me was that they were saying, like, a lot of those Stop the Steal groups were made by a handful of people, and they knew that those people knew how to escape the hate speech, gotchas that Facebook had put in, because they knew how to avoid particular language. And it's just funny to hear Facebook be like, these people are overtly racist, but they know how to avoid us banning them for being racist.
Well, isn't that just how racism in America is anyway?
It is. And that's the funny thing about it. It's like, you know, well, they didn't say the exact thing, so what can we do? It's like, you know what the fuck these people are, right? Like, you know the game that they're playing. You can, and it's, again, you know, this is where my lib cuck sensibilities show up, and I just go, well, if you know they're playing this game, you know you can avoid the game by just saying no thank you to them. Like, flat out. You can just say, we don't want that, goodbye. But, you know, they create groups that regular users like to peruse to be outraged by lies. So, in that way, Facebook has figured out, in my opinion, that they kind of need those things there, because that is going to drive more people to use said service. And to, you know, you got to open up Facebook on your phone before they can start to steal your data. Technically. Technically. I mean, if you know anything about programming, you probably don't, because there's going to be some kind of a routine that's going to check to see if your thing's open. And when that happens, you can throw some quick root toolkit things to do whatever, which is allegedly what they're saying TikTok does. So, you know, there's always ways around that shit. But at the end of the day, Facebook is trying. It's trying, but they aren't trying hard enough. And it's very interesting to see where they start and stop their censorship efforts.
Yeah, because the whole time you're describing this and you're talking about the nobility of, you know, they're not the government, they don't have to be doing this, but it's interesting because they are operating like a government in a lot of ways, and they have this new like advisory court that they put together that's like international to advise them, and the court said the ban of Trump can't be just like this temporary ephemeral thing where there's no particular end to it. Either ban him for good, or you have to like say when he's coming back or whatever, like you have to make a decision on this. Like, you're basically just like punting. And Facebook doesn't have to do anything that they say. And Facebook also,
they could turn that shit into a porn site tomorrow if they really felt like it.
Yeah. And then like they operate like outside of government oversight and in a way that is influencing geopolitical politics. Like, they have been, they've been really bad about content moderation in general, about their accuracy level. They have acknowledged that like 1 out of 10 pages that are taken down didn't do anything wrong. They've acknowledged that, you know, there's no recourse if that happens to you either. Like, there's not like a customer service line. So that's like disproportionately affecting people who don't have a ton of funding. And on top of that, because they want to have access to customers in various places, like they'll work with Erdogan in Turkey, and if you critique Erdogan, you're a terrorist, and so you get taken down. And just recently there was an entire hashtag of political critique that was just entirely censored and again labeled as terrorist activity, which is like, is terrorist activity really on a hashtag? Like, is that really where it is?
And but, I mean, a lot of those ideas and a lot of that stuff is fomented and spread through social media by people who they know how to organize and collaborate and show.
But are you inherently a terrorist for critiquing your government? Like,
no, right.
And the thing is like, if the government is actually engaging in terror practices,
and there's a thing. It's like, it's a private business. So, what, you know, just because if I decided to go on my website and say, you know, something about the government, could GoDaddy or Wix or whatever the fuck, like, be like, Daryl, take it down? Yeah, they could. But, you know, they don't have to.
And yeah, so, I guess this whole thing is just, like, there's so many things that are, like, intersecting here because, like, there is, again, I am gonna just continue to be a huge fan of Elizabeth Warren for being like, Facebook's too powerful. You should just break that shit up. All these things should not be making these decisions for us and like changing our entire culture around this. And the fact that I know a lot of people who are very directly affected by this sort of censorship. Here's just an example. This week, I got an email from the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health, and it is run by great people. It's a nonprofit organization. And it was built by grassroots work of sexuality educators who want nothing more than to make the world a better place. They're not hurting anybody. It's not a for-profit, slimy corporation, anything like that. But because of the name of the organization, they have been censored so much, they can't even get insurance because of the name. There's a bunch of things where they've just been censored and censored and censored and censored. And they finally went like, we're just going to change our name to SHIP, just SHIP. And it's like, it's going to stand for something else. And we're just going to use the word ship and it'll be harder to find us and, you know, all of that. But like, nobody's going to get mad. We'll have this like less transparent explanation of what we're doing, but like, we're still going to do the same work. And it's just like, that's so dumb. It's so dumb. And like the fact that this just keeps happening to things that are completely legal. Like, there's nothing about this that is like combating trafficking, which was what the point of FOSTA SESTA was.
Right.
There's not a part of this that is even like, let's just say you're the kind of person who says that all sex work is coercive, that all sex work is inherently exploitative. Let's just say you hold that position. Even then, why are artists and sex educators and just like random queer groups getting deplatformed? Like, That's the thing, is like, this is having a really chilling effect on these specific already marginalized groups. And then there's so much like misinformation and like white supremacy stuff that, because it's more subtle, I guess, will just be upheld. And that's really my concern.
Well, it's like, funny because
I'll have a new website, but like, come on now.
Yeah. it's that the people with the power to censor what is offending their sensibilities. And that goes back into making sure it's a diverse body of people, not so that not to check off boxes or to make sure that you know, it slants a particular way, but to make sure that that you get a nice swath of humanity to say what would be offensive to a nice swath of humanity. You know, because when it's all skewed white and male, you find out that things like white supremacy are very low on the totem pole of issues in the world, because why would I be upset with a thing that helps me? Like, you know, and even if I know it's bad and wrong, I'm not going to notice it if I really don't have a problem with it, right? It's just, you know, the subtleties I'm not going to pick up. But if I know that, you know, titties are bad, I'm going to notice subtle tit. Like, especially if, you know, it titillates me and I don't like it or whatever, you know, but like, you know, that stuff is just going to be easier to pick up on.
Yeah, that really speaks to like the issue with Twitch too, right? Like, recently Twitch updated, they posted a blog about hot tub streams. Twitch is interesting because they just like, I don't think they can get their shit together, and I don't think that people who are good at programming are necessarily good at like thinking through social sciences things, as they're not necessarily always overlapping things. So on Twitch, the games can have violence and nudity, but the actual humans with agency are not allowed to, which is why, like, burlesque isn't allowed on there, porn's not allowed on there. But even people have been deplatformed because, like, she's a cute girl and she put her feet up in front of the camera, and then, you know, to some people that's too sexual, or the cleavage was too much or whatever. And for some reason, there's this, like, pop-up emergent culture of doing Twitch streams while in a swimsuit in a hot tub or on a beach or whatever. And that is very aggressively not naked, because swimsuits are the clothing we wear outside legally.
Right. It's appropriate for the setting that I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And there are people that are, like, freaking out because, like, that's somehow still bad, or is trying to skirting around it, or they're scandalized for some reason. And Twitch is, like, trying to grapple with the fact that they've held this incredibly prude stance, but they're also like, but we're not that prude, guys.
No, and it's just, you can GTA 5 murder everyone.
Yeah. So they, like, don't really know how to handle it, and it's just very weird because they're realizing that, like, just because other people find something sexual doesn't mean that it inherently is. And it's like, congratulations, you made it to step one, where you realize that if everyone you know is a straight male, then everything that is hot girls is sexual to you. But, like, if it's a super hot guy, like, streaming shirtless, that's not sexual if you don't find guys hot, I guess. And so, like, yeah, if everybody that you know is a straight guy, your idea of what is sexual content has very little to do with the intention of the person.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with what you like personally. So
it's, like, a weird, I don't know all of it, but I do kind of feel bad for Twitch, primarily because they're a victim of their own success. They were like, we want to create a platform for people to play video games and for people to watch people playing video games. That's a thing that people have loved to do for as long as there have been video games. And then it became this juggernaut, like, where, like, it's most of the internet traffic is Twitch. And so once that happened, people were like, well, I want to play board games on it now. And they're like, all right, it's not video games, but you're videoing a game. Sure. And it was like, all right, well, then let's do some tabletop RPGs. Fine, that's a game. Cool. I want to twerk. It's like, you know, that's not a game. Yes, it is. If I can twerk 10 times in a minute, I give myself a point. And I have the high score so far. And it just is, you know, it just becomes that thing where they have to, they now have to, like, do all of this policing for stuff. Yeah, and then, you know, the same thing with titties and the idea of, you know, someone using their body to gain more followers. Man, that's got to suck for them, because it's just like, you know, that's going to happen, I guess. And, like, they have to draw the line in the sand and say that this is too far. And that blows for them. But
it's interesting.
You know, hire me. I bet you I'll do it better.
That's true. Absolutely. It's interesting you say that it has to be games, because, like, I have limited amount of experience with Twitch, but the only experience I have of Twitch being gaming was when we were on OnlyCans.
Right.
We were playing OnlyCans, which I consider, you know, like, really tame but adult content.
Sure.
But most of what I've seen on there is either just, like, people crafting, or I've seen people do drag shows on there. I've seen people do Fetchbug. We'll talk about, she does a show called More Too Scary, and we'll talk about, like, various, like, serial killers and things like that. And I really haven't watched a whole lot of video games on there, so it's basically, it's just, like, a platform for shows now. It's just
that's
public
the
access channel.
It's weird. That's a sucky thing, because I remember I did not sign up for a Twitch until the old president took the world away. I had no intention. I had no intention. That's why my Twitch name is Black Gentrifier, with, like, no A in black, I think, or C. Anyway, that's why my name's there, because my album had come out already. Like, I no intention. But live venues went away, people said, well, what are the most popular online venues? And Twitch was one of them. But it has this core of playing video games. So then people are going to be like, well, I want to be on this platform because it does a lot of the legwork of getting my video to whoever wants to see it. You don't have to have a Twitch account to watch a Twitch stream. You just have to get the link from the person who made the thing, right? Or, yeah, you just have to do that. You can follow without following. Yeah, why they didn't try to take all that shit to YouTube? Yeah, man, I don't know. I'm sure some people did, and I'm sure they still have the same censorship problems.
YouTube's got its own things going on there, and they've had issues with censoring trans stuff and queer stuff, and again, doing it in Pride Month again, who I believe was the last time there was a big kerfuffle about it.
There was somebody in March like, yo, listen, June is Pride Month, so if we're gonna hurt them, we gotta start the process now.
Yeah. But it's interesting because YouTube has an option. Anything you upload, you have to say whether or not it's for children.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good idea. Because
they have a YouTube for kids like app, like a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. And
yeah,
like,
I think that's a great idea.
One of the best things that the internet had was early Tumblr before it was bought by Verizon. I also just love the fact that like when they sold it for like, or when Verizon bought it for like $1.3 billion, mm-hmm. they recently sold it to, wait for it, WordPress for like $3 million. And it's like, how much did you want to get rid of nudity? It cost you everything. You like you spent a lot of money to get rid of nudity on Tumblr, and let me tell you, it's still on there. I'm not gonna tell anybody. I'm not gonna narc on
what's
where
that
it
thing
is.
When the child who has been shunned from a community will burn it down just to feel some warmth. I think we can go for the stereotypical nerd who just never got any ass and then was like, you know what? I'll make sure this website doesn't have it, and I will spend $1.2 billion to make sure.
But before that, like when Tumblr was still a vibrant place where you could get lots of like cool, queer, sexy stuff, they just had a not safe for work toggle, which is so simple.
Yep.
So easy. And like some of these platforms are like, you have to label your content as mature. Like, because I was looking into, after I read the eBay thing, I accidentally said Etsy to somebody and they were like, Etsy, no, what about my dildos? And I was like, oh no, you're right. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up and I was like, I was wrong. I meant eBay because the letters are similar. Sure. And then I found out that Etsy actually already has a no porn thing. And in a lot of stuff, like, You have to make sure that the thumbnail is already safe for work. And it's like, that kind of stuff is like, for, sure, fine, great, cool. Have a little tiny baby gate if that is your community is for a variety of people. I'm like annoyed by that, but whatever. We can have these workarounds. We can have a degree of, this is the, you know, adult swim hour or whatever.
Right.
It's just, I'm fine with that. It's just like, it's label it up front.
What happened? Sorry.
I just say label it up front. Like, put on a fucking safe for work toggle so that people can scroll while they're at work, literally.
Right. Yeah. It's all weird. And it to me, it all boils down to how sex negative we are as a culture and how it's not cool for, you know, no one, it's that idea that no one wants their relative to be doing sex work, even though they love to peruse and to buy sex, right? Like, it's that negativity thing that makes them do that. Because, yeah, a rational thing would be to say, okay, this stuff is sexy time. This stuff is not sexy time. Here's an easy way to delineate the two. And then each user can decide if they're going to do sexy time or not. Like, that would be super easy to do. But our culture doesn't... I don't know of a person of power who is advocating that, right?
Yeah, like, that's the thing.
Where's the senator who was like, look, just put a toggle on if it's okay and let's all move the fuck on. Nah.
Like, that's the weird thing about FOSTA SESTA. FOSTA SESTA not only doesn't do the thing that it was set out to do, it doesn't actually do anything to combat trafficking.
Right.
And like, people were very clear even before it was passing. Like, the Department of Justice, I will always cite as one of the places where they were like, that won't make our job easier. That'll actually make it harder. Like, they were pretty, you know, like, transparent. They're like, that'll just drive shit underground.
This is a
like,
terrible
right now it's,
idea. Who made this? Right. And then Mumra goes back into his sarcophagus.
But like, FOSTA SESTA passed overwhelmingly.
Yeah, because it was tough to be anti-child trafficking.
Yes,
because that was that was in the beginning of it. Yeah,
who's gonna be against combating human trafficking? So even, you know, like that one. Like, look at the Senate vote on that bill. The only people who voted against it, one of them's Rand Paul. I've never agreed with Rand Paul on anything else.
Oh, but he's a libertarian. He thinks that
exactly.
You know, crux of that is I'm already rich, so leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think some of this is like, you know, sex work as an organized activism has always been around. Well, not always been around. Well, to degrees, and like mutual aid, and people became more and more, that I'm aware of, much more active in the 20th century. But like the thing that's happening now is a response to FOSTA SESTA, and I don't know that it would have exploded the way that it has, and that these messages would have gotten to as mainstream of audiences as they have. And I again just going to point to Elizabeth Warren as someone who voted for FOSTA SESTA, was one of the co-sponsors of the EBHDA when she found out about sex workers' objections to it. That bill died. And so it's gone now. And so people can learn. That's the thing, is we, you know, if people are interested in learning. The EBHDA was sponsored by, get this, Elizabeth Warren and Marco Rubio.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, coming together on some bullshit. And the idea was to combat human trafficking by going after banking. And so looking for certain types of banking habits, and like if you're moving money from specific places, you know, like just outside the border of the U.S. and Mexico, or in the places where there's known cartel activity, and then it moves to, you know, whatever, like looking for patterns in banking. But it was also going to just be a part of like the financial war on sex workers, because right now already people in perfectly legal professions too, not that that really should matter, but porn stars and strippers and that will find themselves like kept from having bank accounts, unable to get mortgages, like obviously can't use PayPal or Venmo for those sort of things. So there's like not being able to bank is really hard.
Yeah, it's fucking it's you know, it's not a right, but like it's very discriminatory if it's like because you want to make money this way, you are left out of the banking system, which we set up to make so that everybody has to use it to get anything of real value. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So what was going to end up happening is that people who, you know, use a lot of cash, or people who suddenly came into cash, or some of the things that they were looking for. I read the dang bill, and it was like, if people are appearing to live outside their means, things like that could get dinged for trafficking. And it's like, I mean, you're going to get people who just, you know, are not doing anything wrong, has nothing.
You don't know how to spend money. You are obviously trafficking humans. It's like, no. I just buy expensive things, and I'm just keeping up with the Kardashians. Yeah. Please, just stop.
Yeah. It was just, you know, like it was just a bad idea. And sex work activists, you know, reached out, and she listened, and that bill died, and it's away. But there are more things to be concerned about. Like there's a lot of interest in reforming Section 230, the Communications Decency Act, which would be even worse, just as bad as FOSTA SESTA, in fact, for its impacts. And the idea is that FOSTA SESTA, what it really, really did was just change liability for websites.
Right.
And what Section 230 would do is similarly hold websites liable for content that's on it if it's changed. And so the Safe Tech Act, the argument for it is that these websites can't get away with hosting this content. It's like, okay, sure, great, let's hold corporations accountable for what happens in their sphere, but also don't do a thing that has like chilling silencing effects for a bunch of unrelated people. Like,
yeah,
how about not that?
It's like one of the happiest things. I'm not a customer of sex work. Never been my thing. You know, I like the porn, just don't like paying for pussy. But that's me. But one of the most heartwarming things was to find out that sex workers were, you know, coming together online as a way to vet customers, as a way to give each other tips and, you know, advice and moral support when they endeavored in this thing that, you know, can ruin your life and put your safety in jeopardy, right? They were using the internet to make that profession safer, and it was super cool. And they were, you know, what was it, Backpage, right? Like you could advertise yourself on there, and you know, there were groups and things that you could like, look, I, you know, I can vet you this way. I know what I'm doing. People could make a living. And then they took all of that stuff away because of the censorship of Boss Assessor.
Actually,
website was like,
I'm gonna come in and well actually right
now. Ooh, well actually,
I'm gonna be that guy. That is a misconception. It actually is just coincidental timing. Backpage was taken down before FOSS Assesta as a result of, I think it was the DOJ, and they had, I mean, there was stuff going on that site, and like, for, you know, some arguments, like maybe that place wasn't a great place, but for some people it was the only way that they could sell and the only way they could vet. So it going down meant everybody like just effectively moves down the ladder in how they're doing. So the most privileged people are the most insulated, and the people that were surviving off of working on Backpage and couldn't afford their own sites or whatever then might turn to street work. But it wasn't a result of FOSS Assessa. It actually happened shortly before. Weird coincidence.
But it was just, I was like, oh man, just knowing that, you know, people had figured out a way to do something in a safer way, and then they had to stop because you know, because a couple of people were doing horrendous things. And instead of trying to go in and stop the horrendous behavior, you just say, put it all away, because I'm not comfortable with anybody having an orgasm.
Imagine applying the same sort of logic to churches, right? Like,
right.
Right. And I think there's a lot more reason to look at like a church and be like, you have one of the world's biggest child abuse pedophile rings. In the history of humanity.
Yes. Like, for years, in multiple countries.
And yet, you know, some
banning
people
churches?
Have had to leave their faith because they're, like, realizing, like, these things cannot exist for me in concordance. But not everybody. And certainly there hasn't been a ton of government work to like increase the level of scrutiny that's happening in hiring or moving around, you know, pastors or priests or anything.
Right.
The government sure has not considered that to be a huge issue.
Yeah.
So it seems like we're not really that concerned with child abuse that we're going to go after it wherever it is.
Right.
So.
So there's a whole thing about power and money, baby. You know, also, who wants to be on the bill that's anti-church? And that, you know, that would definitely be how that would be advertised to stoke outrage. Right?
I mean, this last year, people were like, I refuse to have to go to church virtually. How very dare? And I was just like, that's really funny because, like, my grandparents would watch mass on TV because they got really old and they didn't want to go to church anymore, but they still wanted to watch it. And it's like, if it's good enough for my grandparents, it's good enough for you.
Right. Yeah, it's like, I get it. You know, it sucks, whatever, but like, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so calm the fuck down.
We're all tired of Zoom.
Yeah, we're all tired of virtual shit. But in my opinion, I was like, look, let them go. Don't let them wear masks. Let them cough on each other. Make them eat from actual bread. Like, get a loaf of bread and have everybody not wash their hands and take a piece of it, hold it up in the air, say Jesus touched it, and then eat it. And then, you know, give it a year or two. You won't have to worry about that shit no more. Except it'll take care of itself.
They need to then just stay with each other in a building for a few weeks and not go to grocery stores and train stations. That's the only problem.
It's not feasible because, the church people then go to work and it's like, whatever. But, you know.
Because it's like, I engage in practices that are dangerous for myself, but nobody else is getting harmed by them. And I just wish that people understood that concept.
I mean, you know, I put my wife at risk every time I go outside. And I'm just talking about police. No.
Jesus Christ.
Was it mitigated risk?
That's a thing.
Yeah, right? It's just everything's risky.
Yeah.
So you just try to make the best decisions you can at the time.
I mean, being in a car is more dangerous than a lot of the things that people actually fight back against. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're not super good at risk assessment as a species.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of cognitive barriers to being able to accurately assess the level of risk that we face doing something. And we're very bad at assessing the quality of our own beliefs.
Please don't ask anyone to look at the quality of their beliefs. Oh, no. No one likes being made to feel like a hypocrite. The hell? Didn't Texas just make it illegal to teach any theories that would make people feel like hypocrites?
Oh, is this critical race theory?
Yeah. Yeah. Oop. I just read the actual law that I guess their house passed, but, you know, the governor is very much in favor of, because he's planning on it making a presidential run, and as such wants to, you know, have a bit of a track record for being very conservative with his values and stopping kids from learning about the tremendous race massacres that took place in this country is definitely a conservative value.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. It appears to it's funny because this is not the place for this, and I'm going to run out of steam before I'm finished talking, I'm sure. But I read the law, and the law doesn't stop you from doing that. It says, like, you cannot I found this to be very funny because it's petty. It was like, the law can't teach that anyone of any race is inferior or superior to someone based on that race or gender. Like, you can't teach that, and you can't teach that anyone of a race should feel bad about what people of their race or gender or whatever have done in the past. And it's like, I don't think that, and it's such a myopic view. It's such a tiny, narrow view of what critical race theory is trying to teach. It was like, stop trying to make kids feel bad for being white. And it's like, nobody said that. I've never heard anybody, well, that's not true. I've heard plenty of people say white people should feel bad for being white. But, like, that's not what was, I don't think that that's what was happening. They were just trying to say, all of this stuff has happened. If the kid goes home and says, damn, yo, people who look like me have been doing a lot of atrocities, and I feel bad about that, that's not on the teacher. They just told him the truth. But, yeah, they just made it just very petty. It's so, like, a teacher who was actually thinking and, you know, tried to teach the actual history of this country could easily get around this rule, this law. It's going to be a bit tougher for him, but it's like the teacher that was not allowed, taught a health class, but they weren't allowed to show how to put a condom on to anybody. So he just did a very belabored lesson on how to put a sock on your foot. It's like, there are ways around it, but, you know, should we be making these people's life harder? Probably not. But, you know, God bless the foot sock guy.
Yeah, that guy's great. Yeah. This makes me immediately think of, there was a Saved by the Bell episode where I think it was Jessie Spano discovers in her family tree that some of her ancestors had owned enslaved people.
Oh.
And then she's like freaking out around Lisa Turtle. No. It's just the most awkward episode in a very awkward show.
Sure. Sure.
And it's like, maybe just show that episode and you guys will be fine.
That's all you gotta do. Just show that episode. Yeah, nope. That would be, you know, no, because she feels bad about what her ancestors did. It's illegal. You can't show that to kids. Lest they be smart.
All right. Well, this episode is weird, and I like it, and we continue to celebrate 8 years of DTF.
Yeah, man. 8 years. It's the we celebrate that. 8 years of trying to be smart about fucking. It's a good, it's a well-spent 8 years. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We will be getting back into the venue at some point, so stay posted for information on that. You will not find it on my website.
Yeah, my life is now infinitely harder, because when it's like, well, what article do you want to discuss? I have to actually go find it. I can't rely on my co-host's work of corralling this material.
I'm still putting them on Facebook, though, weirdly enough.
Sure.
To Marie on Facebook, you can still go find the news articles there.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't have Facebook on my phone. So now
All right.
I'm gonna be on my damn
list. Email them to you.
I mean, that's yeah, we were doing that for a while anyway, but still, we had a nice process, and then they just decided that that was no good. And you know, this is as much hell I'm going to raise about it.
I think I'm eventually gonna have a new site back. I believe that our producer and editor, Flirt Vonnegut, will probably be able to finagle me up a nice little Squarespace, because WordPress will never get a dollar from me ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
It's they also may not allow me to give them money anymore either, so I don't know. This is a mutual breakup.
Yeah, I'm stuck with one, and it's because that's what was set up, and like I'm like, oh, maybe I could do better, and I'm just like, man, you know how to edit your site. Leave it alone.
So I'm gonna give my promo first actually this week because of that. So if you do want to stay up to date, I'm still for now on a lot of the social media, so you can find me on Twitter at Timaree, T-I-M-A-R-E-E underscore L-E-I-G-H. You can find me on Instagram at Timbalingling. You can find me on the Facebooks. The Sex with Timaree page is still there. And you can email me at sexwithtimaree@gmail.com because they couldn't take that away. So I still got that, and I'm still posting about like the events that I have coming up and things like that. And you can DM me and ask me when things are coming up or whatever. So there's that.
Definitely. As for me, you can go to darylcomedy.com. Always. I don't have any nipples on there, so it should be good. I walk with a reasonable assumption that my website is still operating. I do have some prominent nipples, though. Please don't go looking too hard for them, because they're there, boy. Your boy is... It's like every time I show up, I just had my chest in a refrigerator. But June 13th, 6 p.m., Daryl Charles and Friends at Punchline Philadelphia. Bring in friends. Yeah. There's going to be fun guest spots. There's going to be fun people, great jokes. I'm going to be hosting. So I get to just goof around while my friends get to ply you with their trade as we all get used to being around each other again. It's going to be a fun time. Tears might be shed. Who knows? But come to see it. June 13th, 6 p.m.
Yay.
Yeah, Daryl Charles and Friends.
Yeah. So thank you everybody for listening, and thank you to our aforementioned editor and producer, Flirt Vonnegut.
Yes.
And we'll keep you posted on when we're back in the venue and all that kind of stuff. But in the meantime, you can still keep hanging out with us here, and we will talk at you next week.
Bye-bye.
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck. We'll be right back.